I was pondering the fact that this is the last sermon of 2018 here at Bethel Chapel. And so I thought, well, what will be a fitting last sermon? And I was really praying and pondering this, and I thought, you know what? What is it that God has been to me lately? And so I want to read you just a partial of a very familiar story that we all know, and we all know how it turns out, but I just want to read you just a few of the verses coming out of Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 11. Jesus had just concluded two parables of things that were lost, a sheep, a coin, and he's completing this set of parables with this one, which to me, is very strong. It's just a heart-wrenching one, and you'll see why in a minute. Verse 11, and it's Jesus talking. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Interesting. He was asking for his inheritance. The father's alive. He's asking for his inheritance. And what does he do? And he divided unto them, meaning his two sons, his entire living. He divided unto them his living. And verse 13, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together, meaning all his stuff, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance, everything he had gained from the father, he wasted his substance with riotous living. Praise God for the reading and the hearing of his word. I tell you something, this is heartbreaking in many ways, because you begin to think about the beginning of this story. And you want to think about possibly what must a father had felt. Here he has two sons. Now, we didn't discuss the second one, but the first son is tired of living under his father's rule. He doesn't want to live with his father anymore. And he wants to leave. But yet, to make matters worse, not only does he want to leave, he wants his part of the inheritance, basically saying, I wish you were dead so that I could get my inheritance now and leave. And I don't want to be here. Doesn't say how the father feels about that. But I wonder, if you put yourself in his place, how would you feel if somebody were to tell you, I wish you were dead, or I wish I didn't have to live with you anymore, or I don't want to obey what you say anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. These are the kind of hurtful words and things that people can say and really tear up a family for a very, very long time. But the thing is, he went into this far country. Sometimes we have to go to a far country before we find our way back to God. And that's what happened here. But the thing is, we're told he wasted everything he had been given. Now, I assume it was quite a bit, but he wasted it on riotous living. If you are curious what riotous living is, these are the people who would be going to clubs, parties, way late up into the night, singing, dancing, and I mean all kinds of things going on. He was just being a riot, essentially. It was a riot. And here he is wasting all his money. And you know what? Money attracts friends. Not the right kind. But money attracts a lot of friends, don't they? So here he is. He's got a lot of money. Probably friends, men, women, who knows. But here he has this riotous living going on. Couldn't wait soon enough to get away from his father. But this is the third parable that Jesus told. And there's something special about this parable, because he's speaking of someone who is lost, somebody who is lost. And it's different is because in this particular one, in the first one, the sheep went astray, perhaps by accident, I don't know. In the second one, the woman with the 10 coins, she lost one of those, perhaps by accident. But this, the difference in this parable, it was on purpose. Jesus was telling a story of somebody who was lost on purpose. They chose to be away from the Father. They chose a life away from anything that resembles righteousness and honoring the Father according to the law. And so with full knowledge, he leaves. With full knowledge that he, first of all, didn't deserve the money that he got. The Father gave it to him anyhow. He did all this with full knowledge. We often do that, right? We sin, and oftentimes I'm trying to think of a time when I sin and don't intend to. But you ask for forgiveness, right? You ask for forgiveness, and we do the same. And the thing is, he did all this with full knowledge. So I think about the hurt that comes from what people say, what we say, and the hurt that can come. Oh, you can cut people to the quick by certain words, maybe said in anger at the moment. When I was thinking of this sermon, I thought, oh yes, this would be a great sermon. Boy, was my spirit checked yesterday, because I have these certain things, and I'm probably a OCD in certain things, I don't know, probably. But the thing was, I go into my grandson's room and the floor was just covered in plastic bottles and trash and other things like that. And it went all over me. I said, that's it. That's it. I'm turning off your internet. So I turned it off. And I felt righteous. And then I'm sitting here going, oh gosh. I didn't even ask, didn't even bother. So I had to go in there, and the latest thing that he had after me telling him the rules that there was no eating and drinking in his room simply because of the floor and the way it was left, he told me, he said, I didn't ask for this. He said, they brought it to me, meaning the family. They went out and got something to eat and brought it to him, and I didn't know. But I told him, I said, that was it. You've been warned. Well, I wasn't showing much love, wasn't showing much mercy at the moment. And so my spirit was checked. So here I was thinking, wow, I can hurt someone quickly with the words that I speak and the actions that I take. And I think back, and I'm not trying to say that you should remember past sins, but I think back when people have hurt me, either on purpose or by accident, by the things they say or the things they do. And then I'm left there I don't want to say a grudge, but there's like an empty place that now I feel bad. I'm hurting over whatever it is, I'm hurting. And I'm the kind of person that sometimes can feel righteous in retaliation. You ever want to do that? I mean, you sometimes just want to strike back, but you feel like you're righteous in doing so. But the Bible says, be angry and what? Sin not. Oh, it checks my spirit. It checks my spirit. What? I feel like I'm James and John when Jesus was going through Samaria and they didn't want to receive him, I guess because he was just going to be passing through and not stay. And James and John, I can't imagine this. Now, after having power to heal the sick, raise the dead, and do all these things, ask the Lord, you want us to call down fire on this place? Burn them up just like Sodom and Gomorrah? I mean, can you just imagine them standing like this, and ready to call down fire? And Jesus is saying, you don't know what spirit you're of. That's the wrong spirit. The wrong spirit to retaliate, to push back like that. And I'm not saying you should be walked over. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things that you can, you can control how you react. How you react. I mean, there's times when people can say hurtful things and do hurtful things. I don't have to give them the satisfaction of reacting badly toward it. So I started thinking about this. Okay, so what about the audience? The audience Jesus was talking to was a mixed crowd. He has young people, he has sinners, he's got Pharisees, he's got all kinds of people, lawyers and scribes all around him. And he's telling this story, and each one is looking at it through the prism of their own beliefs, just like we are tonight. So here this younger son who says, I don't want to be with you anymore. I don't want to be a part of this family anymore, and I want to leave as fast as I can. Give me what's mine. And there was probably some young people in there like, yes, I know what that feels like. Yes, they're oppressing me, and I don't like it anymore. I agree with this guy. I want out too. You know, I'd go with this guy. But then you have the wiser and the older generation who are like, are you crazy? This is not honoring the Father. This is not following the rules. This is not being faithful to your family, loyal to your family and to God. And so you have this mixed audience, and they have an idea of how this story should end based on the views that they have at the moment. I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. And so the younger son, which we'll call the sinner, versus the church or the individual who sits in judgment. How often the church will sit and judge. We either as individuals or collectively as a church, we will sit in judgment over someone or something and not think about, I hear requests for and I honor that, of praying for families, for lost loved ones, as we should. We should pray because these people are lost. And it's not judgment they need. They've already been condemned, right? Jesus said, I haven't come to condemn. They're already condemned. And so we don't want to pile on that necessarily. We want to pray for these people because two words that I have learned over the years, and we ought to just say this as a reminder, mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Think about that. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. We all deserve to be gone, to be wiped out. But it's by the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, the Bible says. By the Lord's mercies. It's not getting what we deserve. And the word that goes hand in hand with that is grace. Mercy and grace. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. This son didn't deserve his money. He wanted to leave. He could have left. He didn't need to depend upon his money. But he took that. So we begin to think, well, I'm just glad I wasn't this kid. I mean, this younger son, he didn't know what he was doing. He went and wasted his money. I would have went and invested it and done all this. Well, no, think about it. I mean, we as a church, as individuals, were lost as well. Oh, I know a lot of us have been in here and we've been saved for quite a long time. We sometimes forget that once upon a time we were sinners. We were in this guy's place. Oh, we may not have asked for our portion of our inheritance, but we would have. We definitely didn't want to be in the family of God. We didn't want to be around the religious folks. Sometimes we didn't even want to hear a sermon. Didn't even want to hear it. But at some point, God reached out and touched us and drew us in. And so we are this younger son. And so when we start thinking that, no, this couldn't have been us, yes, it could, absolutely. And because the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 and 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, all of us, not a single one has made it. We have turned everyone to his own way. That includes all of us, folks, all of us. So I started thinking then how, you know, what is it about this, in this message? It's all about the mercy and grace. And so God is rich in mercy, and he saves us by grace. Just like it says in Micah 7 and 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? In other words, he forgives sin. And he passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retains not his anger forever. Why? Because he delights in mercy. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Because that is saying it. I mean, it comes to the crux of the matter here. So God is rich in mercy, that so much so that he gave his only son. And we know this. But there's a lot of people, and that's partly why I sing that song here tonight. There's a lot of people who don't know this, who need to know this. But if we'll go out, there's a calling for all of us to talk to people, to witness to people, to pray for people. You can still be in the battle in the sacred place of prayer. So God is rich in mercy. But not only that, God wants us to embrace his character. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, Peter said. Grow. In other words, we can't stay in one place. We can't be stagnant. So we have to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, how is he? Let's embrace God's character. For this coming new year, let's embrace his character. What is his character? Hosea 6 and 6. He said, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Mercy. There's that word again. Mercy. And hand in hand goes grace. God wants us to embrace his character. I think you're probably more closest to God when you can forgive. Because God is about forgiveness of sins. And we are, I think, the closest to him when we forgive. So we need to embrace his character. And finally, and I hate to say it this way, but it's basically what the Bible says. We have to forgive in order to be forgiven. Jesus plainly says this. He plainly says this when he's speaking in Matthew. This is right after he gave what a lot of Bibles title the Lord's Prayer, but it's really our prayer. And then at the end, he says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But here it is. "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That one ought to wake us all up. Everyone in this room, including myself. We have to learn to forgive. So if you would, please stand. So this year, at the closing part of this year, for myself, I want to pray to have more mercy and more grace. Remember, mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting something you don't deserve, like forgiveness of sins. So I would like us all to just sing the first verse of Amazing Grace, and then we'll end it with the Praise God, Praise God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Think about it. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Let's do praise God. Praise God, 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 praise God. Father, this coming year, I pray, Lord, that you'll teach us about your mercy and your grace. Help us to be more like Christ so that we may learn to forgive others who may have hurt us, or even if we have hurt someone else, that we may seek to reconcile with them, Lord, and ask for forgiveness. And Lord, and I pray that this congregation, Lord, will be forgiven of all their sins as well as mine, Lord, but I seek your forgiveness, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Lord, have mercy on us. Pour out your grace upon us, Lord, and give us the courage and the boldness and the ability to do the same for your people, and to pray for those who do not know you, who are lost on purpose. Heavenly Father, we commit all these things into your holy name. Amen. Praise the Lord.